The story is told of a little boy who is sick on Palm Sunday and he has to stay home from church. His mom stays at home with him while his dad takes the other two children to church. After church, dad and the siblings arrive back home, each holding palm strips in their hands. The little boy asks, "Dad, why do you have that? Where did you get it?" Dad looked at the son and said this, "Well, you see, when Jesus came to town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we were given palm branches today." "Oh, great," said the little boy. "The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." The little boy could be excused for making the mistake he did. After all, he was young and he didn't fully understand. And although the story doesn't go any further, if it did, I can imagine the dad trying to clear things up with his son. "Well, Jesus didn't actually show up. We just heard the story of what happened in Jerusalem many years ago." You know, sadly, I think such an understanding has crept into the minds of many people today. Even churchgoers. Many can go to church each week without ever really expecting to see Jesus. And on the Sundays that we miss church, there's often not a lot of concern regarding what we might have missed. No real concern that in fact we might have missed Jesus. In our passage this morning from Mark's Jesus story, we heard about the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, a mere few days before his arrest and crucifixion. I've spoken before about how I sometimes like to put myself into the Bible stories, to imagine myself right there in them, to become kind of part of the experience. And let me say, I think the temptation that we face on a day like today, if we were to put ourselves into the story, is simply to put ourselves into the midst of the celebration. Simply to see ourselves as those among those waving the palm branches and welcoming Jesus. I think many of us have a tendency to treat Palm Sunday as a little bit of a reprieve in the midst of a weary Lent. But what if we were to look below the surface of the day? What would we see? What might we begin to experience? Well, I'd like us to do that today. And as we do that, we're going to ask ourselves some important questions that I think would be important to reflect on as we enter into Holy Week this year. And I want to start with the title for today, When Jesus Shows Up. I think the first question that we need to be asking ourselves today is this. When Jesus shows up, will I like what I see? Now that might seem like a bit of a strange question. And if we were to keep ourselves at kind of arm's length from the story, looking at the story simply from our vantage point today, we might well respond, "Well, of course I'd like what I saw because I would see Jesus." But if we enter into the story and see ourselves among the people of the day, perhaps we might not be as quick to answer. To help us enter and understand the story, it's important to consider the context. Now, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. Now, we don't know how many times prior to that day Jesus had been there. We do know that when Jesus was 12 years old, Jesus and his parents, they went up to Jerusalem. And if you remember the story, that was the time when Jesus stayed behind in the temple and mom and dad went off with the family thinking that Jesus was with them. So he was there when he was 12 years old. But it seems as though likely, if Jesus had been there at any other time, very likely sense is that people weren't aware of it. I think likely Jesus had been there other times. He'd likely even been there with the disciples before. I mean, all faithful Jews were most supposed to go to Jerusalem at the time of the great festivals for worship. And so very likely Jesus had been there many times. But if he had been there other times, I think he was more in the background. I don't think the people of Jerusalem were really all that aware of him being there, or they weren't all that aware of Jesus at all. That he was there in the background. But this time, people were expecting him. Now, very likely there had been other people from Jerusalem who had gone out and maybe had crossed paths with Jesus in other places. Maybe they'd been among the crowds who had been sitting, listening to Jesus preach or seen some miracle that Jesus had done. And when they'd come back to Jerusalem, they'd talked about him amongst their friends and neighbors, and words soon got around. I can imagine people, as they were listening to some of the stories, being like on the edge of their seats, hearing about this man who was called Jesus, wondering, could this be the Messiah? And so when word started to spread that Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem, that he was on his way, I can imagine inside of people from Jerusalem, excitement building up inside of them, looking forward to his coming. But I find myself wondering, what might they have been expecting? I think very likely in many people there would have been kind of like a merging between their hopes and their expectations. But I think many may well have been expecting some kind of military leader. For such a long time, the Hebrew people had longed for a Messiah, the one who would lead them to victory over their Roman oppressors. And I can just imagine people, as they waited Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, I can imagine them closing their eyes and picturing perhaps a man in military garb on a majestic stallion riding into the city. Or a king in front of an army preparing to lead his people into battle. Others may well have been expecting something a little bit different. Perhaps they were expecting something akin to one of the Old Testament prophets. Somebody who would be preaching fire and brimstone, calling the people to turn from their sin. On that first Palm Sunday, on the day that people in Jerusalem first set their eyes upon Jesus, do you think they liked what they saw? We don't know, do we? Now, some might say, of course we do. After all, there was great celebration and praise. Listen to what it says in verses 9 and 10. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Sounds pretty celebratory, doesn't it? But you know, I wonder whether there were people that day who simply kind of got caught up in the moment. I actually think that for many, perhaps, Jesus might have caught them a bit by surprise. I mean, they didn't see a soldier. They didn't see anything that came close to what they might have imagined in a king. They didn't see some fire and brimstone preacher. They didn't see a man on a majestic stallion. What they saw was a man on a donkey. When Jesus showed up, do you think the people liked what they saw? I wonder how many of us would like what we saw if Jesus were to show up today. I wonder whether who we want Jesus to be and who Jesus is exactly the same. You know, I think sometimes we're almost looking for a lucky charm Jesus. One to protect us from all the negative things in life. One who we can pull out of our pocket whenever we need. Others, perhaps, are looking for what Philip Yancey calls the Prozac Jesus. The one who's kind of even keel, the one who doesn't get too emotional, one who helps us relax when things are starting to get stressful in our lives. I think others, perhaps, are looking for the Mr. Rogers kind of Jesus. One who's a good neighbor. One who's friendly. One who'll never be confrontational with us. Too often, I think, we create our own image of Jesus. And we want Jesus to fit that image. However, in so doing, I believe we almost put restraints on Jesus. Rather than allowing Him to be who He is and allowing Him to work within us, that we might become who He wants us to be, we kind of shackle Him. If Jesus were to show up today, would you like what you saw? Or would you be like the people of Jerusalem, cheering one day for Him and yet turning from Him in just a few days? When Jesus shows up, will we like what we see? The next question we must ask ourselves is this: when Jesus shows up, will I be willing to change? And as we reflect on this question, we're going to leave the people of Jerusalem for a moment and look at things from another perspective. Think back to the passage. Remember what Jesus asked His disciples to do prior to them arriving in Jerusalem. He asked them to go and get a donkey. In our passage from Mark's Jesus story, it doesn't even say donkey. We kind of fill that in from some of the other Jesus stories. It just says a colt. But He asked His disciples to go and get a colt from a neighboring town. He gave instructions on where the colt would be and what to say if the owners challenged them for taking it. And the story, it played out exactly as Jesus said it might. They were challenged by the owners, and they said what Jesus told them to say, and the owners let them take the animal to Jesus. Now listen to how Mark describes what happens next in the story in verse 7. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, He sat on it. Now, I don't often invite people to imagine themselves as an animal, but let's just reflect on this for a moment from the perspective of that colt. Jesus sat on that colt. Now, if you remember what Jesus had said about the colt prior to the disciples going to get it, He said to His disciples that it was a colt that no one had ever ridden. Never before had that colt carried people on its back. It's possible that it had never carried anything on its back. And so as people placed their cloaks on the colt's back, it could have kicked, it could have reacted, making it very clear that it didn't like that the weight that it was placed on it. It could have made it very clear that it wanted things to remain the same, that it didn't want to change. And yet that's not what happened, is it? No, Mark tells us that people placed their cloaks on it, and then Jesus sat on it. And at that moment, that colt was changed. Never again could that colt be one that had never been ridden before. The colt was changed. And you know, if colts can change, surely we can change. But often that's the last thing we want, isn't it? We don't like to change. We don't want to change at all. We don't like challenge. We want our lives as followers of Jesus to be easy. I think we've been too influenced by pop psychology that says, I'm okay, you're okay. We want to just feel good. We want to be reminded of God's unconditional love, that regardless of who we are or what we've done, that God loves us just the same. And let me tell you, I believe with all my heart that God does. He does love us unconditionally. He does love us regardless of who we are or what we've done. I believe that with all my heart, that there is nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. Nor is there anything that we can do that can cause God to love us any less. What we do, who we are, doesn't even enter into the question. We are loved exactly as we are. But I don't believe that Jesus wants us to stay exactly as we are. When I look at my own life, I know there are things about me that make me fall short of the person that God created me to be. I stumble and fall. Often my steps are of my own choosing. And I just hope that Jesus will tag along behind me. God loves and accepts me even as I am, but God calls me to be changed, to let go of the things that pull me away from Him, and to become the person that God created me to be. Just think of some stories from the Bible, some examples. The tax collector Zacchaeus, he was considered a notorious sinner. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' home before any change in Zacchaeus, showing Jesus' love and acceptance of him. But after the meal that he shared with Zacchaeus, he changed himself. Through that encounter, he was changed, and he became somebody different. Think of the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus didn't condemn her. He loved her and accepted her. And then at the end of the encounter, Jesus said, go and sin no more. One of the people that we find that didn't change is the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He kept all the laws. Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then follow. And the young man couldn't do that. And so he turned and walked away. And it says in the passage that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. He loved the man unconditionally. But the man didn't change and he couldn't follow along behind Jesus. How willing are you to be changed by Jesus? When we gather for church, whether in person or whether it's through digital means, do you expect to be changed? And if not, why not? Often in the prayers when we pray before a service here, one of the things that I often pray for, and this isn't just for me, but it isn't just for you, it's for me as well, that we might be changed, we might leave the service different from when we came. That God, we want God to meet us where we are, but we want God to be working in us that we might be changed. When Jesus shows up, are you willing to be changed? Our last question. When Jesus shows up, will I be willing to follow? And let's just think about the 12 disciples for a moment. Remember how things unfolded for them. Perhaps you remember the story I think it was probably in January or so when Jesus called the four fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me." And then we hear about other people who start following Jesus. Until there was 12 disciples, and it seemed that they followed Jesus wherever he went. Think about the crowds of people that started to flock around Jesus out in the countryside to hear him preach. They sought out his teaching. They sought out his healing for themselves or for their loved ones. And after their encounter, so many people started to follow. There's a story about Jesus spending time with people and then him getting in a boat with his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. And the passage goes on to say that the people who he'd been with, they walk around the lake so that they can get there to be with him as well. People wanted to follow. Now think about the people of Jerusalem as Palm Sunday is starting to unfold. The impression we get is that upon Jesus' arrival, they'd have been willing to do whatever Jesus had asked them to do. People threw cloaks on the ground. They cut palm branches. They started waving them in the air. Sense we get is that after his arrival, even as he's carrying on into the city, as that parade is starting to go by, people are still following closely behind him. What a day it was. What a sense of excitement. What a great day to be following Jesus. But did you notice how quickly things changed? In verses 9 to 11 of our story, we hear how it unfolded. "Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And I'm so struck by those last few words in verse 11. He went out to Bethany with the 12. Where are all the people? Where are all the ones who had previously been praising? When they arrived in the city, there was such a commotion. I imagine that people along that parade route might have even had a difficulty seeing because there were so many other people in front. And yet at the end of the day, there appears to be nobody. Just Jesus and the 12. Where was everybody else? How could the crowds have disappeared so quickly? Could it have been that everybody who'd been there to welcome him only followed when it was convenient to them? That there were limits as to how far they were willing to follow? Well, at least the 12 disciples, they went further. Says that they went with Jesus to Bethany. And yet if you know the story, you know that as the gospel continues, even they had their limits. Sure, they were willing to follow when it was easy, but when things got difficult, they too were quick to go their own way. Scripture tells us that on the night of Jesus' arrest, the disciples scattered. Could Calvary have been too far for them? What about us? What limits do we have when it comes to following Jesus? Are we like the people of Jerusalem? Are we like the 12, willing to follow as long as the road is easy? It's easy on a day like today, isn't it? Palm branches waving and celebration as Jesus enters Jerusalem. It would be easy to follow next Sunday. But what about all the difficult days in between? What about Maundy Thursday, the night of Jesus' arrest? What about Good Friday? Good Friday certainly isn't a feel-good day, and yet Jesus wouldn't have missed that day for the world. He knew that the only way to the empty tomb was by way of the wooden cross. What was true for Jesus is true for you and me. To experience the resurrection fully ourselves, we must experience the cross of Jesus, wrestling with what it means to die ourselves that we might live with Him. Discipleship isn't easy. Jesus didn't ever say that it would be. And yet Jesus keeps calling us forward, calling us to take another step with Him. How do we respond? When Jesus shows up, how willing will you be to follow? At the beginning of the service, I started off by telling the story about the little boy who was so disappointed that he'd been away on the Sunday that Jesus showed up. Well, we need not be disappointed, because I believe with all my heart that Jesus is with us today. Jesus does indeed show up today, and whenever we seek Him, Jesus is ready and willing to meet us. But the questions remain. Will we like what we see, or will we be limited by our own expectations? Will we be willing to be changed, or only determined simply to stay the same? Will we be willing to follow, to take another step with Him as He goes all the way? Or will we turn when it starts to get difficult? What will we be like? How will we respond when Jesus shows up? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Jesus, that the celebration that He received on Palm Sunday, He didn't just want to dwell in that and soak that in, but He kept on going, even though others didn't follow. Lord, we pray that You will help us to see You as You are, to allow You to do all what you want to be doing. Help us to have the courage to be surrendering so that we might be changed. And Lord, give us the courage always to follow. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.